Any particular tolerability issues that you've observed that are different than what's been seen in solid tumors, for example, that kind of play out the same way?
I think in general, we could say that patients with Hodgkin have tolerated the treatment very similarly to the patients with solid tumors. There hasn't been a very different toxicity signal. And in fact, actually, because of the efficacy, particularly in Hodgkin lymphoma, of nivolumab, pembrolizumab alone, patients haven't required the combination studies that include ipilimumab, where clearly the toxicity then steps up a level. So actually, majority of patients tolerate this treatment very well and often have been quite sick from their disease, and then the net is actually a significant gain when all is done because their disease symptoms are so much better.
Any particular complications that you've observed or heard about that you want to comment on? I'm always curious about hypophysitis. Have you ever seen that?
Interestingly, I've seen that much more commonly with ipilimumab than I've seen it with nivolumab and pembrolizumab. Pembrolizumab and nivolumab in general, the side effects we deal with most are moderate pneumonitis, hypothyroidism, some bowel symptoms potentially, but quite frankly, diarrhea and shortness of breath, cough, and pneumonitis as detected on a scan or an x-ray are some of the things that we work with the most. It's been interesting because many patients with some anti-inflammatory treatment in the way of steroids can often still maintain and stay on treatment even with the symptoms, but one has to really kind of navigate that quite carefully.
So again, a question I've been asking people in different fields. Have you encountered any patients with prior autoimmune disease? And what is your thinking about using checkpoint inhibitors in various types of autoimmune disease?
In general, most of the clinical trials were very cautious about that in heme malignancies, and actually most of them were excluded. Now, obviously, as there's greater experience and availability of these agents, there's much more kind of willingness to try it out. My sense is that not all autoimmune diseases are the same. So, for example, you know, we've had patients that have had diseases like psoriasis, which you could argue is not exactly an autoimmune disease, and we have not seen much in the way of difficulty tolerating checkpoint inhibitors in patients like that. But if you have a patient with a severe rheumatoid arthritis or some other true inflammatory process, I think one still has to be very cautious about that. And I personally have not had much experience treating those patients. We've been very careful not, because we've done a lot of the trials, not to enroll those patients.
I did hear from Jean-Charles Soraya in a lung cancer symposium about a patient who ended up in the ICU with psoriasis, but I guess it's pretty uncommon.
Well, interestingly, you know, we also have a similar problem in that we actually see a lot of patients that have had an allogeneic transplant.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, from, you know, Hodgkin, that's been a therapy, and then they now would like to try an immune checkpoint. And the question is that a safe strategy? And actually, now there are data that have come out that have allowed us to say that in general, provided you don't have clear-cut clinical GVHD at the time of being enrolled in or being treated with an immune checkpoint, actually, a lot of patients have been able to be treated quite safely. There are a number of patients that have had some toxicity, but I think if one is careful to ensure that graft versus host disease is well controlled, you can potentially give that if you need to.